Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Imagine your office is the side of a mountain and one as revered as the great volcanic peak at the heart of the Taranaki region. Well, it is just that for mountain ranger Tane Houston, who you might bump into on one of the tracks, checking traps or passing on his knowledge to visiting school kids. He's part of the Taranaki Moonga project, which aims to bring the Moonga and the people who live around it back to health. He always starts with a karakia.
Tēnā koe, tēnā koe, te maunga, tēnā koe, tēnei ngā here, te waonui o Tane. Nei rā, te mihi ki tō o Irua, Tawhito. Tēnei mātou, tēnei au, te reo.
My name is Tane Houston. Tane Wudumu Houston. I'm really honoured to be a mountain ranger here on Moonga Taranaki. So I'm based out of the south of Taranaki, living in Hawera. But I'm a part of an organisation that looks after the entire Moonga.
So
I engage with the mountain as a living being and I'm a part of an organisation, a whānau, that's encouraging the world to see the mountain in the same light.
Tane is tall and burly. He strides ahead of me up a slowly rising track. He wears tramper's leggings, well-worn boots, and a high-vis vest. Its pockets are bulging with all the things you might need for trapping and keeping safe in the bush. I'm curious about his name, the same as Tane, God of the Forest.
So at my time of birth, my grandmother christened me Tane Mahuta. But my mother thought that that name was a little bit too significant and probably too heavy a name to carry through the world, so I took the name of my grandfather, which is Tane Houston. But my grandmother reminds me now of her foresight, I suppose, and that now working in the space in the ngahere and working deep within the forest of Tane Mahuta, my grandmother's quick to remind me that when I was born, she named me Tane Mahuta, yeah. But nah, I'm nothing like Tane Mahuta. We're just humble people that get to work in this beautiful space. But I suppose I'll just share that funny story on behalf of my grandmother.
It's all right.
Others are coming up the track behind us, and we move aside to let them pass. They're volcanologists. This is their office too.
Be safe. Yes.
Mount Taranaki is considered to be a sleeping, active volcano. The last major eruption was around the mid-1600s. It stands just over 2,500 metres high, one of the most symmetrical volcanic cones in the world. Like an island, the sea in which it sits, rich, fertile farmland. And that's what makes it somewhat easier to get rid of predators and pests and fulfil the project's mission of restoring the landscape.
Taranaki Moonga Project is one organisation that exist in a massive community of a whole heap of organisations that are doing their best to fulfil this purpose of restoring the well-being of our mountain, restoring the well-being of the forest, restoring the well-being of the waterways, restoring the well-being of all of the native wildlife, and restoring the well-being of the community's connection to the mountain and to the natural environment. That's who I work for. That is the mission that I'm a part of. So what that looks like from day-to-day operations all the way through to the wider purpose or the bigger picture, it starts often next to a Dock 200. So we've arrived here next to a trap here on the mountain. We have thousands of traps on the mountain and a lot of different types of traps. But today we're working with the Dock 200. It's about the size of a letterbox, and they're placed in 100-metre increments along every track that we have here on the mountain. This trap in particular targets rats and mustelids. So the mustelids are stoats, weasels, and ferrets. I'm going to open this trap up here. So these traps on our public track, they're screwed tight just to ensure that the public don't try and have a tutu with the trap and end up getting caught inside of it. And as we can see, I promise I haven't staged this, but we've got a young Norwegian rat that's here caught in our Dock 200, quite a fresh kill. And this is quite a common sight for us here on the mountain, so every 3 weeks when we are baiting these Dock 200s, we definitely find rats and stoats often in all of our traps.
It's kind of satisfying, isn't it? But then it's also...
They're still out there. Yep, they're still out there. So yeah, it's a win when we are catching rats, but it's also, you're absolutely right, it's also a reminder that these pests and predators do exist out here. So when we catch heaps of stoats or heaps of rats, we celebrate having caught heaps of rats or heaps of stoats, but on that same note, we're definitely reminded that these threats to kiwis, these threats to whio, these threats to totowai still exist here on the mountain. So it just shows us we've got a lot of work to do. So these first 30 odd traps along this public track we have made available for the South Taranaki hiking group, a small group of really dedicated trappers. We allow them these traps here to engage with. And they sort of customise their traps in a pretty cool fashion. You can see here they've attached a bit of a wire brace to the top of the box that can hold a prune. And so they've decided for the moment that they'll use a prune as bait, which looks like it might have done a good job.
Ooh,
there's also a fake egg in there.
Oh, yes.
And they've used some walnut in there as well. So they're...
lots of tasty tidbits there.
Yeah, they're being really creative with the baits that they're using in this 200, and it's obviously worked. And I've just now set the trap again. Seeing that this bait here, this prune and this walnut are still quite fresh, there's no need to re-bait, but I am carrying fresh rabbit on me for any of the traps that need to be re-baited with anything more fresh. But this is good to go as it is. I'm going to close this back up. What we're going to do is we're going to just chuck this rat in the bush and let the insects have it.
Goodbye, rat.
We lock this box up, keep it safe, keep the public safe, and that is how we engage with the Dock 200. There are thousands of Dock 200s right across the mountain, and so every 3 weeks there are a massive amounts of our community that are out here in the voluntary capacity and in the staff capacity alongside Department of Conservation tending to these traps and doing our best to get rid of the rats, get rid of the stoats, get rid of the threat.
We talked about rats. I understand that goats have been eliminated. What would it have been like before when the goats were here?
Well, I suppose for the listeners, if I just describe this bush that we're in at the moment, you almost, to your left and right hand side of the track, can't see your feet. So what that means is that without goats here on the track, the undergrowth is thriving. So as far as we can look left, as far as we can look right, there is undergrowth everywhere, 10 centimetres, 30 centimetres, metre high undergrowth just surrounding the base of all of these larger trees. Years ago, when the goat was here, a lot of this low-lying undergrowth would not have existed, and you'd just see bare ground and exposed root. But here, we're not seeing any exposed root, nor are we seeing any bare ground. The whole ground is just covered with beautiful native rākau, native tree life.
Very lush, isn't it?
It's very lush, yeah. Super green, heaps of beautiful colours, loving the colour of the horopito there. The pepper plant has a lush red leaf, and it's reaching up alongside these beautiful raureko and kāmahi trees that are covered in a really lush moss as well. So,
what a huge result to get rid of the goats.
It's massive, yeah. It has been absolutely mind-blowing to not have any browsers here on the mountain. I've had many discussions with rangers and with conservationists all over the country, and they are still in a position where the deers and the pigs and the goats are browsing through their forests, and so they exist in forests where the roots of the larger trees are exposed. Here on Taranaki, you
You will absolutely get lost in the bush if you step out off track, and that's just due to this massive amount of undergrowth that exists. So it's beautiful, it's absolutely luscious, and it really does give you a glimpse of how wonderful New Zealand native forest can be if we look after it really well.
We know that the Maunga is kind of like an island, isn't it?
Yep.
So it's, dare I say it, a little bit easier to do the kind of work that you're doing?
Yeah, it sure is, yeah.
What are the lessons learned for other projects around the country?
The project itself sort of saw the mountain as an island. We know that we have heaps of success trapping offshore islands, and we wanted to transfer that success to the mainland, and it was decided that Taranaki Maunga project, or Taranaki Maunga, would be a great place to do that. How that benefits other projects is that we can have a concentration of all of the different tools and newly developed tools on the Maunga. We can test them, we can trial them, we can run experiments here on the mountain regarding different ways of getting rid of pests and predators. Once we find that any of those systems work well, we can then advocate for those systems to be introduced to other projects across the country.
Despite not being an island like here?
Yeah, it can do for sure, especially the satellite systems. So the traps that are connected to Bluetooth and satellite systems, those traps coming out of Zip technology, so they're an organisation in Wellington and working in Christchurch, they work across the country. Their system is here on the mountain, and as that system develops, regardless of bush out there that isn't like an island, those systems will be of huge benefit to other parts of Aotearoa that are looking to control pest and predator numbers for sure.
The Maunga project has been going 9 years and it covers 34,000 hectares. It also includes the Puakai and Kaitaki ranges to the northwest of the mountain and the Ngamotu Sugarloaf Islands.
So for us, over those 9 years of working with the community to bring the ecology, to bring Papatuanuku and Tāne Mahuta back to life, we've now arrived at a position where we can bring kiwi back. And so the amount of trapping that's taking place on the mountain, the amount of community engagement working with organisations such as Taranaki Kiwi Trust and Rotokare Scenic Reserve, as well as Te Ara Tai Ao and Department of Conservation, there's so many groups that we work with. And because we're working with such an awesome amount of community groups, we've really got a handle on the amount of pests and predators that are here on the mountain. And because of that, we're in a position now to engage in massive amounts of kiwi being returned to the mountain.
But there have been some losses, haven't there?
There have been some losses, yes. So naturally we're going to lose kiwi every now and then. There are still pests on the mountain. There are still predators on the mountain. Last year, out of about 60 kiwi moved to the mountain, we lost four. Three to predator and one to misadventure. So naturally we are going to lose birds, but we aim to keep that number as low as possible. Another thing is that through those losses, we've been able to really learn where the holes in our systems are so that we can absolutely focus on...
And where are they, where those holes?
Those holes exist down on the boundary, and so it's all about reinvasion. We have, the mountain is covered in traps, and so now we're working really closely with TRC and our local farming community to ensure that the trapping that's happening on the farm is awesome as well. And we've been doing some really good work this year to support the trapping that's happening on the farms, and that's a way that we've been sure to try and cover that gap, which is reinvasion to the mountain. And we're doing really well, and the community's working together really well to do it.
And apart from the traps, you also have other tools, don't you? Cameras, for instance.
Yes, cameras. We also have satellite equipment that's attached to our traps, so we have traps that communicate to our phones and tell us exactly what's going on the mountain. Cameras will highlight any density of predator, so if our cameras are picking up ferrets in any location consistently, we know that that location needs a lot more work, and so we just get straight in there and be sure that that area is taken care of.
An increasing number of feral cats are being caught. Tane says about two or three a week. How big are these cats?
Oh, they're like little bears. They're interesting, feral cats. Cats that have maybe a few generations. Cats that have like second and third generation in the bush, they do grow like different features. They've got a thicker fur. It seems like they have like shorter, stubbier, stronger legs. shorter, stubbier, stronger necks. They look like little bears. They look like little cubs. They look quite rough, but they look quite menacing. They don't look like your fluffy cat that you have at home, that's for sure. They still look kind of clumsy when they're in the bush, but if we give it another 5 years, maybe a decade, we might have a real issue when I think these cats are going to turn into real predators in the bush if we don't watch out.
And if you do find a cat in a trap, what do you do with it?
So most of the traps that we have for cats are traps that will kill the cat instantly. But if we are targeting specific areas where we know that there has been sign of cat either caught on camera or seen by farmers, we'll go in with a live cage capture and we'll capture that cat live, especially if it's in proximity to farms, just to be sure that it's not somebody's pet. And so we'll capture it live and we'll see if it has a chip or any electronic data embedded in the cat to tell us that it is somebody's pet. If it's somebody's pet, we'll obviously return it safely to the home of the owner. But if we are sure that it's nobody's pet, we'll dispose of that cat quickly. I'm always on the lookout for different things to eat.
You eat from the bush?
Yeah, well, as part of our learnings and being lucky to share the space with the experts of rongoā and of sort of native forest. We get exposed to different types of this vegetation that we can eat. This is a koawau plant, so it's just a little plant that grows off of the trunks of other trees, and when it's transparent, so at the moment you can see that this is a non-transparent leaf. That's a real dark green leaf. I don't know, sort of the shape of a maple leaf. In a funny way, elongated maple leaf. But when that leaf is transparent, it's quite a luscious little bite.
What does it taste like?
Tastes like walnut. I found a little transparent one here. Like a little salad green.
It's so
it's
like
got
walnut.
A nutty flavour.
Mm.
Only a little one, but
It's actually quite nice.
Sometimes we come out here and spend time in the huts, especially if we're working deep in the forest. We have to be out here for a few nights, and when you're out here for a few nights, you're usually eating sort of dehydrated foods, foods that we have to reconstitute. But after a little while, you need that fresh bite, and so it's really cool to come into the forest and know exactly what is edible and have a fresh bite.
Fresh salad from the bush.
This horopito plant here, I'm not sure what the English name for it is, but we can call it pepper plant because this plant here is a hot pepper.
You're not going to fool me with that.
Yeah. but it is lovely. It's
a
spicy. It numbs
your lips sometimes, doesn't it?
It's a spicy nibble. But dried up. We've taken some and dried it up and put it on our steaks, and it is nice. That one was real spicy.
The mountain ranges are covering on average 14 kilometres a day. We come across visitors from all over the world.
Hello.
Hey, good morning there.
Hi. How are you?
Good, how are you?
Good, thank you.
How far are you going today?
I'm trying to get to Salmhat. Cool. Depends on the weather.
It's not a good day for the weather, so we will try our best. Yeah. I'm from the north of Spain. Also, there are mountains in there, so we'll see.
Your mountains are different from ours, I guess.
They're very different. The forest is wonderful. So we'll see what we can see there.
And the birds, are you listening? And
yeah. And the bees. We are far away from the city. That's the most important part.
True, the peace. Well, you have a lovely day.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. How long have you been doing this job?
So this is my fourth year working with the Maunga, and
what,
it has been life-changing.
Life-changing?
Yeah, hard out. Yeah, the well-being that is provided from the mountain is unmeasurable. I don't know what it is exactly, but I know that since having the opportunity to spend sort of many days a week out here on the mountain, maybe reprioritise how I look at life. I'm not sure if even that's it. I can't describe it.
But I know that my life is far better now than it ever has been, and I know that one of the major influences on that that well-being is being here, high levels of oxygen, good physical activity, and just no noise, no pollution, birds, tree life, drinking from the rivers.
What were you doing before?
Before I was working in the social arena, so a lot of work with high schools, a lot of work around youth development, particularly in and around the marae, and so just working to support young Māori males from the marae and helping the younger generations grow into whatever it is they want to grow into, and just giving them tools. And
you would still do that sort of work on the maunga, wouldn't you?
Absolutely, yeah. Taranaki Maunga Project, it's all about connecting community to the maunga, and so we do that in many different ways, but one of the ways that we really enjoy doing that is by bringing schools in and working with youth groups and working with Te Ara Taiao, who coordinate our local schools into the natural environment. So we bring kids in and we just expose them to the space. We don't really do much talking. We let the forest talk for itself. We just take them on some beautiful walks. Sometimes we expose them to the science that we engage in, and they can be in whatever mood before we get into the bush. By the time we get out of the bush, they're laughing. You can see that their energy is high. They're all smiling. They absolutely love the mountain, and I haven't had an engagement with rangatahi on the mountain where they haven't come out feeling good.
And do they want to come back?
They love it. They want to come back. They want to be rangers. They want to be kaitiaki. They want to be conservationists. They want to know more about professional pathways in terms of science and all things to do with volcanology and all things to do with native species and tree and river. They love it and they want it.
I suppose many of them would have lived with this maunga in their short lives, yep, and not really connected with it, or just had it there and taken it for granted.
Yeah. So, and much is the case right across the board, not just with our young ones, but even our kaumātua, even our elders, many of our community who have lived in Taranaki, and everybody sees the mountain in the morning when we wake up. You don't have to go far without seeing the mountain. It's been interesting to find out that people have never really had the experience of coming far into the bush and seeing what the mountain has to offer on the inside.
Mountain ranger Tane Houston heading off up the track on Mount Taranaki. And after I visited, 34 Kiwi were released into Te Papakura o Taranaki, the former Egmont National Park. About 110 Kiwi are expected to be released there this year.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.